This is the Tom Likas Show.
I didn't even feel no pressure.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Shit. Okay, that's cool.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24/7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you and me at a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. That's right, another bonus hour. We do them every Tuesday. And joining us, as he always does, it's criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, good to see you.
Hey, great to be here, Tom.
What's going on?
It looks like Tom, our friend Donald Trump, has gone through the final step of his complete mental breakdown, I suppose, meltdown. He's not going to participate in the next debate. He's too good for the debate because he doesn't like Megyn Kelly.
Nobody's going to care.
I like Megyn Kelly. She's kind of cute, you know?
I mean, it's not gonna, people who've decided over Donald Trump are not going to base their decision on that.
I don't know. It didn't seem like a very good sign. So I was talking to one of my clients today, and she is actually, aside from needing my legal help, she's actually a law student herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about the good old days going to law school. And I think that one of the really nice aspects of law school and of being a lawyer in general, and I certainly can suggest it to people that are interested in it, is versatility. You know, there's a very wide range of things that you can do and be as a lawyer. And something I wanted to talk about today, which relates to a lot of my clients lately, has been really the range of things that I can do for people. I'll give you a small example, and I think this will really illustrate. Of course, today we're talking about criminal law, and you know that people sort of imagine what they see like on the movies and television where a lawyer's in court and litigating, but you know that most lawyers don't do that very much. And a lot of stuff that you do as a lawyer is, you know, technical and helping people take care of different kinds of, you know, administrative things. And, you know, one of the things that I've talked about lately a few times was expungements. Now, we talked about how people had made mistakes and had youthful indiscretions and so forth and had lost their right to own a gun because they were convicted of a crime. And what we were doing was is I was getting their conviction expunged, which meant that it was, you know, being deleted, and that's something that people really like, sort of like starting over with a clean slate, which is a great thing, and I've done it for a lot of people. It makes them very happy, not expensive at all, and pretty routine. I've had really good success. I've had almost 100% of them accepted, and, you know, then you're done. And the interesting thing is that I have a guy who doesn't even live in California, so this is something I can help you deal with no matter where you are. He's actually in Illinois, and he actually had a conviction of a felony and got it expunged. Had it actually, they kind of do it in two steps. When it's a felony, they knock it down to a misdemeanor, and then they expunge it. So he actually had it expunged, and now he was making his application to have a gun, to be allowed to have a firearm. And, you know, there's still that, you know, even though it's been expunged, it's still there. It happened. And so they were giving him some grief. And I actually have helped him to complete basically kind of an application slash appeal. This is all in writing. Organizing several different documents to show that he had it expunged and that he's a good person and he hasn't had any other convictions. And he had to get some other letters of people that know him. And he had to explain some details about what had happened. And we submitted it. It has to be done in a very kind of specific way. It's very obvious that they want you to have a lawyer do it. And now he's going to be able to have a gun, which was important to him. And I think, you know, that's not something that people should take lightly, certainly people that live out in the country like you do, Tom, you know, you need to have a gun. You need to, you know, if nothing else, to deal with animals or, you know, just calling the police and having them not arrive for 2 hours. People out in the Wild West had to fend for themselves. The idea that you're going to hear a noise in your house and you're going to call the police and hide under the covers and wait for them to come is pretty ridiculous. I mean, there's going to be situations that are very unusual where you're going to have to defend yourself. And, you know, it's a basic right, theoretically, as a U.S. Citizen, but you see how very easily it gets taken away. So if someone has a restraining order against them, or if somebody has even a pretty simple conviction for a misdemeanor, let's say one not even involving violence. Now, I mean, if you got some kind of a misdemeanor involving a robbery or a firearm, you know, violation of some kind, that would make sense. But if you have a misdemeanor for drunk driving or for something completely unviolent, like drugs, for example, you lose your right to have a gun. I don't know why that is. It's pretty incredible. And, you know, when you talk about getting your rights restored, here it is years later. And because you were once convicted of a misdemeanor, you still can't get a gun. And so aside from, you know, all the other things I can help you do, I can help you with your divorce, and I can help you, you know, for example, in a criminal case, go to court with you and get you a deal or get it dismissed or whatever, I can also help you administratively. So when you're having a problem getting a gun permit or dealing with something like that, I can help you deal with the government. I've had a few people lately. This is probably not so unique, but it is kind of something that happens in some of the bigger states like California. I've had people that are getting hassled by their local city. A lot of cities in California are incorporated cities, so they have like their own separate government. And you have people that live in different towns. They have issues with police departments. Some people have been hassled in various ways with respect to how their house is, or if they have things on their yard, like they have a lot of junk, or they have cars, or they're like, you know, taking things apart, or one of the neighbors complains or whatever, and they start to get into this whole kind of thing that, you know, if you don't have a permit, you're not supposed to do these things, or they get fines, or they get warnings. There are a lot of people that get hassled by the government in other ways, like the EPA. And there's also protections for certain you know, wetlands and animals and so forth. There was some kind of a farmer who shot a bear that was actually on his own property, and the bear was attacking him, and he shot the bear, which I think makes sense. But it turned out, of course, that it was a very rare kind of bear, and he was endangered. And, you know, the government gave this guy a fine of like $90,000. And, you know, I know it sounds funny, but, you know, you actually have to pay that. You know, that doesn't go away. And if you owe it to the government, they're going to collect. So, you know, certainly this is something that I'm also helping people with. So when you talk about different circumstances, it's such a versatility. There's so many different kinds of legal problems that exist. And when we talk about, you know, criminal law, at the end of the thing, and this is something that we talked about a lot, where people will plead guilty, especially at a young time in their lives, when they're, you know, 18 or 19 or 20, and say, I'm happy to plead just to get it over with, and they don't necessarily even hire a lawyer. Here I'm going to be to help you years later to clean up your mess when you're trying to, you know, be a regular citizen and you want to vote and you want to have firearms, you want to be able to get state licenses, you want to do some of the regular things. You know, this student that I'm talking about is a law student. She's my client. And, you know, she is going to have some convictions from her past. She did some silly things when she was a young woman. And when she applies as a lawyer, you know, to the bar to try to get the license, these things are going to cause her problems. And this is certainly true when people are applying for any kinds of licenses now. You know, even simple things end up getting to be really complicated. I know that some of the licensing you had to do, Tom, right, for the wine and stuff, it's kind of a big deal, right?
Well, of course. I mean, you know, the alcohol is one of the most regulated
right.
Products sold. All of that goes back to the end of Prohibition.
Right.
The way they agreed to end Prohibition is by making it nearly impossible to get a license to sell alcohol at a liquor store, a bar, get a bar license, In my case, I'm getting a license so that I can put my own brand
right.
because I don't own a winery. So in order to not say, you know, so-and-so winery starring Tom Likas, in order to have my own brand, I have to be licensed as a winery.
So that's the regular kind of thing, right? They do a background check of you, and you have to submit all kinds of application documents and so forth?
Right. By the way, I was in, you know, it's public record, so I was not only I not only had to fill out all this background on myself, I had to be fingerprinted, and
wow.
my fingerprints had to go to the FBI and to the Department of Justice.
You know, it's really incredible, because when I applied to be an attorney, I had to get my fingerprints. And, you know, you think about what an invasion that is, you know. Now, I mean, it makes sense if you're arrested and convicted of a crime. You know, okay, that makes sense. They want to fingerprint you because they're, you know, they're studying, you know, if you were involved in other crimes, or they're trying to match you in different ways to the crime scene or whatever. And, you know, nowadays we do things even more invasive where we take people's DNA samples. But, you know, you as a law-abiding person, this is what gets me. You haven't done anything wrong. There's no suggestion that you have. You're applying for a license, whatever it is, liquor or anything else, or I'm applying for a law license, and they're fingerprinting me. And I remember I had to go to the police station, and you know, they take your hand, and I think now it's more electronic, but in those days it was on paper when I did it. And you know, that's sort of strange. It's sort of invasive, kind of humiliating, and giving your DNA. I mean. You know, one time they took your blood. Now they generally take a swab from your cheek, but that's not a fun thing. That's you know, that's private information, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And again, this was agreed to in order to end prohibition, that there would be the states would have all these rights
right.
to regulate alcohol sales.
That's amazing. And they used to have what the was the ATF, right? That doesn't
well,
even
now,
exist anymore.
It has
right?
No, it has a different name now. What is the ATF called?
Well,
I don't know.
It was Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms.
Right, no, but it has some other name now.
It's amazing. You know, you really have to look at these things. A lot of people have expectations where they say, you know, we want the government to fix things. We want the government to protect us. We want the government to do these things. And you have to be aware of, you know, what comes with government. Government is mainly about, you know, penalties. So the government doesn't say, please do this. The government says, you have to do this. And if you don't do it, you're going to pay a fine. Or you know, if you want a license, for example, to sell alcohol, or to practice law, or to be a veterinarian, or even a haircutter, a hairstylist, you're gonna have to pay a fee. You're gonna have to fill out an application. Your application could get rejected. You know, you have an appeal process, and if you don't do it on time, you have to pay an extra fee and a fine and a sanction. And I mean, it's like that's how it works.
Right.
And people don't realize how these applications and these things today get, you know, very complicated. And, you know, you see how people get frustrated where they want to start a small business, or they want to open a store, or they want to do something even like you, just, you know, make your own alcohol brand. And it's like a 25-step process.
Right. No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, the only reason we're not selling our wine now is because we're waiting for our license to be completed. And once it's completed, then we can sell our wine.
Right, right. Well, there you go. So that's how it works. And if you
By the way, I had to get a license, just for your information, I had to get a license to be able to buy farm products in the state of California.
To buy farm products.
Yeah, because I'm buying 2 tons of grapes. So,
wait a second. So
you need a license for that.
So I can't just buy grapes on the open market.
You can buy grapes at Trader Joe's, you know, half a pound of grapes. But
yeah, but 2 tons.
You want to buy tons of grapes from a farmer, you have to have a license. By the way, I'm sure Trader Joe's probably has that license, but I don't. So
you had to get a license.
Now I do.
Hold on a second. This is incredible. Just for the right to buy the grapes.
Correct.
In large quantity.
Right.
That's incredible. Well, that's irrational. What's that about?
I had to pay $100 to get a license. I just received it. I am licensed. I can now legally purchase grapes.
I don't understand. If they're sold on the open market, why can't I buy them? What's the difference?
It must have to do with the purposes of using them or with the quantity.
I don't know, man.
Because I go directly to the agricultural entity and buy the grapes. I pay them directly. That's obviously being regulated by the state of California.
That's amazing to me. I mean, I understand how they want to regulate alcohol, perhaps, because it's a drug of some kind. You know, it's something that, you know, hurts people, maybe. But yeah. Grapes, what the hell are grapes?
That's right.
So if I want to buy 2 tons of bananas, I have to get a license?
Maybe so. I know for grapes, you absolutely do.
That's amazing.
Yep.
So, aside from...
You know, I have a wine attorney.
Well, yes, that's exactly what I was going to say.
I'd love to use you, but this is not your area of expertise.
It's not my specialization. No. I wouldn't claim otherwise.
So I had to hire a wine attorney in Napa.
All right, so there are attorneys. By the way, Tom, you're making my point, which I appreciate. I was talking about the versatility of the license of being a lawyer.
Yeah.
So there are lawyers that specialize in wine.
Yes.
And the required issues. And
not just wine, but alcohol licensing of all kinds.
Right.
So you might want to make bourbon, or you might want to make something else. There are attorneys whose law firms specialize in that.
Right. And so you hired this type of attorney.
Yes.
And this person helped guide you through the process of the required licensing and so forth.
I had to sit in her office. I had to say, all right.
A lady lawyer.
Yes. I just say again. I said, all right. Here's what I want to do.
Right.
I want to commission a wine. I want to be involved in its production. I want to sell it with my own name, my own branding. I don't want it to be ghostwritten. I'm involved in this, and I want to make sure that when it comes out, it's not like somebody else's name on the label or some other brand.
Right. Your own brand.
It's my own brand.
Private label.
Correct. And so she told me all the things I have to do, and I have had to fill out voluminous paperwork. I have been in the office of the attorney in downtown Napa.
Mm.
I have we recently posted in the window of our business here the required posting to alert the area that we are going to be in the wine business. We had to let everyone know
publicly,
and they had the right to protest for 30 days.
Oh,
we put the notice up, and they had 30 days.
And anyone objected for any reason?
Right. But the reality is, if anybody looked into the license, we're not going to be storing cases of wine here or having
right.
tastings. We're not turning it into a liquor store. but nonetheless,
right.
those signs look the same for everything.
Right.
So those big white paper signs that people put in the windows of businesses.
You have that here in the studio?
Yeah.
Really?
We took it down now. It's,
oh, wow.
it's down.
But you had it 30 days, whatever.
We had to put it up for 30 days. And if anybody walked by and wanted to fuck with us, they could have filed a protest. But they didn't. We get along with everybody.
That's amazing. It's really amazing.
But anyway, so that's part of the regulation. You have to do that. In fact, speaking of the regulations, having nothing to do with attorneys, but you could eventually involve attorneys if we don't do it right, we're designing the label.
Well, all right.
There's the sign. Mikey Timpson's holding it up right there.
Oh, there it goes.
Public notice
of application to sell alcoholic beverages.
All right.
Yeah. But we're not opening a bar. I mean, and it's...
Right. It sort of suggested. It says sell. Yeah.
Yes, but if you go and read what's written in it, it tells you what kind of license we're applying for.
Right.
And it's the kind that we would need to commission a wine to make it and to sell it. But the bottles will never see the inside of the studio. There'll be a fulfillment house that will send the bottles
right,
out when we
right.
sell them. So
can't wait.
We'll never be storing them or... You know,
but it shows you. I mean, it shows you the versatility. People think if you're a lawyer, you're either a corporate lawyer or you do family law or you're an entertainment lawyer. Whoever thought of being a wine lawyer? That's amazing.
Well, with over 1,000 wineries in the state of California, you have to imagine. And with all the regulations that exist in the alcohol industry, you have to believe they would be specialists in that field. By the way, the label we're doing has to meet certain legal requirements, a lot of legal requirements. And so I spent time with the designers of the label last week. It was our second meeting. And
what kind of things?
You have to have the warning to pregnant women about drinking
right.
on the label. You have to have the alcohol content. You have to avoid having, like, nude pictures of people
really?
On there.
Really?
Well, you know, there's a product.
Not too sexy.
Look it up. Dean, why don't you look this one up on Google? It's called Marilyn Merlot. And on the cover of on the label of Marilyn Merlot, there are pictures of Marilyn Monroe. They have licensed the name Marilyn and the images of Marilyn Monroe.
Unbelievable. It's fact.
But not too sexy, though, right?
Fact. Well, that's the thing. Her naked layout in Playboy, they can't put that on the label.
Right.
So there has to be modesty and discretion used. And if you try to get away with something, the government will stop you, and then you have to have your attorney get in there and say why your label isn't too racy or why. There are other things that have been fought over the years. You know, for years, the malt liquor called Old English 800 had to fight with the government. And the reason was that the government's contention was that the name Old English 800 implied a high alcohol content, which, of course, malt liquor has.
Oh.
And you can't name a product like Buzz or anything with the word Buzz in it or anything.
To suggest it's strong.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So
the government's going to save us from ourselves.
That's right.
I'm so glad.
That's what they do. So, yes, that is a specialty especially in the law field. There are people who are devoted to alcohol licensing, and that's it. That's all they do.
Amazing. So I have been devoting myself to helping people post-conviction get their licenses, and it's the same type of thing. Like I said, particularly firearms licenses, but also getting back the right to vote. And any other kind of regular state license. Obviously, licensing to sell alcohol is a whole different story.
And if you're a convicted felon, I think that's out the window for you. I don't think that's ever coming back.
This guy.
Hard enough when you haven't broken the law.
No. He was a convicted felon, but I got it expunged, and then we're working on getting him a firearms license. A lot of people say to me, you know, if I pay you and get it expunged, will I automatically be able to get a license for a gun? That's one of the reasons they want to do it. And the answer is not sure, up in the air. Mm-hmm. Because once it's been expunged, you then have to start working on getting the license, which is not automatic. But at least it's possible, and I certainly help you along. So there you go.
Yeah.
Another thrilling thing to work on.
Yeah. But, again, another way in which people utilize the services of lawyers.
Right.
And as I always say, and I continue to say, you never, ever, ever lose money or regret having good legal services on your side. It's a must. I would not be where I am today if it weren't for multiple attorneys over 25 years or 30 years of my career, and everything from negotiating intellectual property agreements to enforcing labor contracts that I had with radio stations, who after they sign you to the big contract to be paying you all that money, they want to find a way to get out of the contract, and so they try to say that you did, like they do a paper trail on you, and they start to say, well, your parking space is space number 12, and you parked in space number 11, and they would send me a memo, and they would be preparing to fuck me over on my contract.
You've been through such extraordinary stuff, Tom. It's amazing.
But now, the broadcast, I can't speak for other businesses, but the broadcasting business is full of stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's full of force majeure, and it's full of force majeure, look it up. It's full of escape hatches, you know, moral turpitude clauses, which are very vaguely written.
By the way, very common in corporate America today, in general.
Right. And, you know, that it essentially means that the contract is not a contract at all, because moral turpitude is a very vague term. It is not a specific term. And, you know, if you are seen smoking a joint, which if you have a marijuana card in California, that's legal. But if a picture of you appeared on Facebook smoking a joint, somebody could say, moral turpitude, and then you're off to the races.
There's definitely a world within the corporate world, and I know this from friends and so forth, that are lawyers, let's say not from you, but from like the other side of this, where the manager would sit down with me as their corporate lawyer and say, look, we've got this agreement here with Tom Likas. How do we get out of it?
Right.
And I sit there as the lawyer, and I go through the whole thing, and I say, well, 26 here is moral turpitude, and do you know anything about Likas? You know anything about his home life or his personal life? And they go, well, we know that he's a cokehead. Well, perfect, moral turpitude.
Right. they try to get out of contracts all the
for
time.
For sure.
I had at least one famous situation that I'm not allowed to talk about, so we won't name the station. But there was one station where, you know, we almost came to blows in a courtroom. That's what happened. And, by the way, who did I hire to be my attorney back then in that particular year? I hired a labor attorney who generally works on the side of corporations.
Right.
I didn't hire a labor attorney who works with unions or anything like that. I got somebody who knows how the companies think.
Right.
And so this was...
Really get under their skin.
Yes.
Yeah, brilliant. Oh,
they hate that. They hate that. They think you're just going to say, all right, just give me $25,000 and we'll call it a day.
It's been my experience, and it's I think lesser numbers than what you're talking about. But you know, I've got a couple of guys lately that were unfairly fired, very unfairly. But what they do is they bring him into an office, and you know the guy knows that something's going on. They tell him he's losing his job, which he kind of anticipated, and they put a check on the table for $5,000.
Right.
And they say, okay, look, no hard feelings. We're going to give you this $5,000, but you got to sign this thing.
Yeah.
And the thing that he signs gives up all his remedies, all his rights to sue, all his rights to arbitration, to anything. And you'd be amazed, you know, when the $5,000 staring in the face, it's like a bird in the hand, you know? He says, all right, I'll take it. Signs the paper.
Right? Now, well, I know somebody who didn't take it. I know somebody who signed a 5-year contract to work for a radio company and a radio station.
Right.
And went to town and started working on this radio station. And then in less than a year, they changed the format of the radio station.
Right.
So they were going to change the format. They hadn't changed it yet. They called everybody in. And so my friend was called into the office and was told, you've done such a great job. Thank you so much. And, you know, here's $25,000.
Right.
And thank you very much for coming
off.
In. And he said, well, wait a minute. My contract is for $500,000.
Right.
I'm not taking $25,000. And then this is like human resources saying, well, be reasonable. How much of your contract do you want to be paid?
Right.
He said, I moved here from another state. I want the entire contract paid. And you know, ultimately he got quite a nice check.
Right.
But not until after they threatened him in every possible
right.
way.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The dishonesty of it. So that's what lawyers are for, to protect you. What can you say?
Exactly right.
I've been getting a lot of calls now from people that call me and tell me, you know, I have this problem with the company, and it started in 2008. And it's like they've been taking it in the ass for 6 years or 7 years. And I'm like, dude, if you didn't hire a lawyer in all this time, for God's sake, come on. And they go, well, I thought it would work itself out.
Right. Yeah.
But you see how the temptation for, obviously, this friend of yours, you know, $25,000 on the table. A lot of people say, whatever, I'll take it and just be done with it.
Yeah.
But
well,
obviously, he stuck to his guns, and that paid off for him.
Yes. Well, I furnished an entire house and then some. Plus, I'll pay for the down payment on that house with a settlement from one station. Because they want, you know, when they first hire you, and I don't care what business you're in, when they first hire you, they want you very badly.
Right.
And they'll do anything they can. They'll make any promise. They'll do anything they can to get
you. Yeah, but it's not idle stuff. It's in writing. It's a contract.
Yeah, but they're always written in such a way. It's like they're written in invisible ink. These contracts are written in such a way so that you are obligated to the company, but the company is not obligated to you. That's the way it's done.
Right.
You know, when I worked for CBS, I had what was called a play-or-pay contract.
Right.
Change format if you want to. Do whatever you want. Run my show backwards every day. It's not a problem as long as you pay me.
Right. You used to say that you would tell the show into a hose. I remember that.
Right. I was asked if I would consider working at a very bad AM station with a very bad signal.
Like Rush Limbaugh style.
No, this one was really bad. And I said, no, a contract says that I work at this station and
right.
I'm not working at another station. That's that.
Right.
But, you know, if you don't, if they think you are not protected by counsel, if they think you don't have a good attorney, they'll start telling you, well, look, you got no choice. I mean, this is what you're getting, and that's that.
Right.
So, you know, you just cannot go through this life as an adult without having a good attorney. You can't.
Well, so paradoxically, the human resources department is one of the most ruthless departments in a company.
Well, because they're the ones who line everybody up at Auschwitz and send them to the ovens. That's what they do.
No joke.
They set you up for what's coming.
Yeah.
You know, they, and it's their job to be sitting in the room with whoever's firing you, and it's their job to cut a check, and they know who's getting fired before anybody else knows they're getting fired. The Human Resources Department, no matter how friendly you get with them, because there's somebody else they answer to, and so their job is just to be there and to be able to say they witnessed your firing or they cut your check for you or whatever.
All right, it was handled properly.
Well, for anybody, for example, I'm amazed at people who are, you know, they believe the company's looking out for them, and so they'll accept, like, free, this is one they used to offer at several of the last few radio stations I worked for. They offered free counseling.
Isn't that sweet?
Isn't that nice? Now, there was nothing in there that said that what you said was confidential.
The counselor's going to screw you.
Free counseling? You know, why pay a psychiatrist when we're going to give you free counseling?
You know, I just saw this movie. It's really good. It's called The Big Short.
Yes.
And the company Bear Stearns literally closes. It collapses.
Right.
It's one of the big stock companies.
Yes.
And they fire literally the whole staff.
Yes.
Which is thousands of people. So in the movie, they show them in this, you know, Manhattan skyrise, and they were all coming down the elevators, and they've been fired. So literally every last person is walking out with their, like, the box with their stuff or whatever.
Right.
And the security guards on the first floor are saying to them, go straight to your transportation. Do not talk to the media.
Right.
This is as their last act, having just fired the whole company.
Right.
And they're still sticking it to them.
Right.
Go straight to your transportation. Don't talk to the media.
Now that's the next person to get fired, by the way. After they have presided over everybody's firing, then the person they work for says, can I see you for a second? And then they get fired. That's what happens. By the way, speaking of lawyers, and there are, as we know, there are lawyers who do things they shouldn't do.
Oh, really?
Yes. When I came to Phoenix, Arizona, to work at a radio station, I still didn't have a contract when I arrived, something I would never do today.
Right.
But the guy said, I need you immediately. We'll get to the contract.
Yeah, and Mr. Reckless here.
Well, great. Yeah, I'll tell you what, great, but if we don't come to an agreement, I'll leave. I'm just letting you know.
Right.
So here's what the guy says to me. This is what he says. The general manager and part owner of the radio station says to me, well, there's something about that I got to tell you. He says, don't worry about having an attorney, because I'm an attorney. That's the beauty part.
Oh, that's great.
So if you have any questions,
you just hit them to me.
You can just ask me, and I'll be happy to help you.
Not that I have your best interest in mind.
Why pay an attorney? I'm an attorney.
Excellent.
That's what he said.
Right.
Literally.
That's like when the cops tell you, look, I'm an officer of the law. You
right?
can trust me. Just tell me the story. It'll be fine.
I'm an attorney. That's the beauty part.
Were you able to keep a straight face?
I said, you do know I'm going to have to show this to my attorney. And by the way, what happened there? One of the things that was agreed to was that the company would pay my moving expenses.
Nice.
Okay, which is common in the radio business, because back in the day when radio was a viable business, people used to, you know, one year I worked in Miami, the next year I'm working in Phoenix, a few years later I'm working in L.A., that's how it worked.
Nice.
So it's common for them to pay your moving expenses. So when I was leaving Miami for Phoenix, I talked to this gentleman, the owner and general manager of the station. I said to him, well, I should be there in about a week because I'm driving from Miami. It's going to take about 5 days minimum to get there. And he says, no, I need you right now. I said, but it takes about 5 days. I'm leaving my car behind. What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, well, just put it on the truck.
Yeah.
So I guess he had no idea that you're paying by the pound.
Yeah.
So I put a 2-ton vehicle onto a moving van. And when it got there, the bill was like thousands of dollars for to move a few cardboard boxes and my full-size Honda Accord sedan.
Aye.
And so when I got there, the program director of the radio station comes to me. He says, the owner, he's not going to pay your moving bill. And I said, well, tell him that today was my last show.
Yeah,
I'm out of here. And you know, that's kind of stuff that goes on when you don't have an attorney or an agent who's an attorney or somebody as your middleman.
My favorite story, Tom, along these lines was I went to Ukraine. And there's a city there called Vinica, where they built a bunker for the Nazis, would you believe?
I would!
So they built this unbelievable underground city for them to hide in or whatever it was. And the deal was, and this is very much what you just described, they have these workers, basically slave laborers, dig the place and pour the concrete and do this whole thing. And when they were done, they killed all of them so that no one would know.
Right. Yes.
That's it. That's the way to have real secrecy.
Understood. Now, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. Adam Sachs is here. He is here as criminal defense attorney, Adam Sachs. If you've gotten pulled over by the cops, if you've been accused of doing something, could be DUI.
Uh-oh.
Or as they love to call it back east, DWI. And I never understood why we can't come up with one term for the entire country.
A lot of people have been calling me and asking me if I do tickets, Tom. Like, it's not clear. You know I do tickets.
Well, of course. I mean, a ticket is a summons to appear in court. That's what a ticket
actually
is. No,
I mean, you know, any kind of speeding or whatever.
Right.
Well,
of course.
That's easy. I mean,
Adam's done many of those for me.
That's what I was implying.
No, well, I'm reminding everybody so they know.
And what was my batting average, by the way?
1,000. I haven't been to driving school in some time now. It's been a while. I haven't had a point on my license in a while either. It's great.
That's right.
So what does that say? It saves you on a lot of things. You may have paid an attorney, but what about your insurance? What about the fines you pay? What about the court fees you pay? You save a lot of money when you use an attorney to get things like tickets. Absolutely. And you can't always assume that you're going to just be automatically found guilty. There's all kinds of ways that attorneys know. To get you out of those situations. So it could be a ticket, yes. It could be a DUI. It could be a drug allegation. Maybe you've been accused of some other kind of crime.
Domestic violence.
Domestic violence.
I've got one today. A guy just called me that he got into an argument with his wife, and she, like, jumped to attack him, and he got out of the way, and she fell on the ground.
Oh, my.
But what did she tell the police when they came? He tried to rape her.
Oh, my.
So that's a felony now.
Yes. Oh, by the way, we haven't talked about Blake Griffin. I'm going to ask you about that when we come back.
Okay.
Okay, because we're going to take a break here.
That's going to be a good one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Adam Sachs is here. If you have questions, criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs will give you free legal advice right now, but you have to call this number. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM to talk to Adam Sachs. It's 901-3000-TOM. 866.
Coast to coast. Around the world. And across the universe. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios. In Burbank. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And we are here with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. If you have questions for Adam. Legal questions. How about some free legal advice for you at 901-3000-TOM? 901-3000-TOM is the number to talk to Adam. 901-3000-866. All right, Blake Griffin. Here's an amazing story. Blake Griffin of the Los Angeles Clippers. So the Clippers go to Toronto to play the Toronto Raptors. They are on the road. And they're there with, among other people, the assistant equipment manager, who's about a foot shorter than Blake Griffin. And according to the Instagram page, which he took down but previously had been captured by Deadspin.
Once it's out, there's no taking it back.
Right. And so apparently he and Blake Griffin, the equipment manager Blake Griffin, had been friends. They'd celebrated Blake's birthday together. And there's a picture of Blake taking a picture of this guy, the assistant equipment manager. So something happened, don't know what, between these two. And according to the story I read, Blake Griffin punched this guy inside a restaurant. And then he left the restaurant, and Blake, according to the story, followed him out of the restaurant and punched him in the face again and broke his hand. And this is wrong in so many ways, and lawyers are just going to have a field day with this. Number one, because they're both employees of a company. And it doesn't matter if you don't have desks or cubicles. This is a company. and they both work for the same company. And everybody's got a job. What would happen if you walked into your office tomorrow and belted somebody who worked in your office? What would happen to you? And the other thing is that Blake Griffin now is going to be out another 4 to 6 weeks. He's already been injured this season because he broke his hand on this guy's face.
Yeah, but if he broke his hand on the guy's face, what did he do to the guy's face?
That's a good question. We don't even know.
I mean, he must have really, really hurt the guy.
Right. So Blake Griffin's going to need a good attorney. The guy's going to need somebody. Hopefully something better than an ambulance chaser, but somebody who's going to go in there and get him a big settlement. How do you see a story like that?
Don't people talk things over anymore? I just don't get it.
No. I've been saying this on the show. We're in the era of the troll. And this is why you have candidates like we have running for president. And this is why, you know, there are so many of these incidents now where people will just say absolutely anything to absolutely anyone, like they're not even there. They'll just say things.
Right. I was reading about this coach of the Cavaliers who's an Israeli. This is all over the Israeli newspapers that I read. That he's actually doing great, and they've had like a great season, and they're ahead in the East Coast or whatever.
Right.
But he can't get along with LeBron James, so they fired him.
Right.
I mean, this is the kind of nonsense. I mean, if your guy from the Clippers is having a good season, why can't he just live his life? He has to punch. Seriously. He's a big athletic guy, right? He has to punch some equipment manager, for Christ's sake.
By the way, it's your coworker. I mean, that guy's in the locker room every day before and after every game. This isn't like when Ron Artest punched a fan in the stands in a game.
Pretty twisted.
That, it is, but it's even worse when you are punching your coworker.
Oh, man.
Ron Artest, we will all recall at the place called the Palace at Auburn Hills, he ran into the stands and some guy poured a beer on him and he turned around and punched him. And it was on television. It was on live TV. It was kind of hard for him to deny. He was ultimately suspended for 50 games by the NBA.
I don't know how they do it. I saw this thing was years ago with the Knicks. I guess it was New York when I used to live in New York. That they had the guys that bought the actual on the side, you know, the chairs on the side of the thing.
Right.
And there was one billionaire guy that would buy the chairs, and he would stand there and taunt the players.
Right.
And he's saying their names. So he's going, hey, Nick, you suck. What the hell's wrong with you?
Right.
And he's right there.
That's why he paid for those seats.
Yeah, but then the basketball player guy is standing there. He's like literally twice as big as the guy, okay? And the guy is literally, he's not just, you know, saying you're having a bad game. He's totally cursing the guy.
Right.
Carrying on like an animal.
Yeah.
And the guy's, you know, the basketball player says, well, what can you do? You know, it comes with the territory. It's incredible that that Griffin would, lose his temper at a restaurant. I mean, what the hell are these people talking about? They're arguing about
politics?
Well,
there's a lot of facts we don't know. What were they talking about? How did this start? And here's the thing that I heard today, and I mentioned this earlier. I was listening to some stupid, and I think sports talk radio is the stupidest medium in the world. First of all, no station has more than
what's the rating? 0.0.
They're all pretty close to that. How thinly can you slice toilet paper? And they've all got the same dozen callers, and they know all of them. And anyway, I'm listening to some stupid show where no calls are coming in, and they're vamping. So one of the things they start talking about is, well, what did the equipment manager say? Like, it doesn't matter what the equipment manager said. You know, unless it's, I've got a knife and I'm about to plunge it into your heart, does it really matter what the guy said?
Right, right. It's true. I mean,
I can't believe they're having this conversation. You cannot punch somebody in the face and break your fist. Can't do that.
There's we have a civilization and people think that it's a lot stronger than it is. And you see that people lose their temper. People are in public situations. And, you know, you think that everyone's super dignified. But obviously, on some level, we're still descended from apes, Tom, aren't we?
Absolutely.
So somewhere along the line, people lose their temper. You get pumped up with adrenaline. I mean, these athletes are super muscular. A lot of them are probably taking performance-enhancing God knows what. You see in the NFL, how many examples we've seen of domestic violence and, you know, all this misconduct by all the different players with getting in fights and violence and all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, it's sort of a reflection of our society. You take people and you want them to be role models, right? You put them out there, but in the end, you know, they're going to do whatever they're going to do. And you see how kids, you know, look up to their favorite sports star, and then everyone's shocked when it turns out he's a drug addict.
Right.
Or a wife beater or a child molester, et cetera.
Yes.
That's why I like the rappers, because they don't claim to be otherwise.
I know.
That's an honest business.
Yeah, it's true. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure more facts are going to come out. But, wow. You know, and as we were saying, you know, the union will intervene if the Clippers try to not pay him or suspend him. And,
well,
you know.
Listen, I mean, let's face it. There's a lot of money involved. And you've got a very smart guy running the show, Ballmer. And if he was really smart, right, he would get this equipment guy, you know, in the room somewhere and say, hey, listen, we don't want bad publicity. We're really sorry.
Here's $100,000.
Here's all your medical bills paid. Here's a check. Take your wife to the Bahamas for a couple of months, and we're going to give you this and that.
Right.
And take care of yourself.
But what
and,
do you, you do? Know, what do you do to What do you do to Blake Griffin? Nothing.
He's going to have to pay some kind of punishment. Maybe he has to apologize to the guy. That would be the big one, right?
It would probably be easy to get money out of him.
Right.
Unbelievable. I will take one more break. We'll tell you how you get in touch with Adam if you've got legal problems. He's always there for you, and we'll give you that information coming up next.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Oh, yeah, it's the Tom Likas Show on the New Normal Studios in Burbank. And, Adam Sachs, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can give me a call at toll-free, 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me email, which I love and I respond to personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, it's that simple. And don't forget, if you miss any part of Adam's appearance, of course, there's going to be another live appearance, another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. You can hear Adam again on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Full of shit.
Brought to you apart by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer. It's
yeah.
Beer Magazine. Women experience heart attacks differently than men do.
All right.
I think we've known this for a while. You know, men have that whole classic thing with the, what is it, the right arm?
Yeah, that's a bad sign.
Left arm.
Is it? I don't know. I thought it was right, too. Then again, I'm not a doctor, and neither are you.
Right. But I'm always looking on WebMD just to see if I'm having that heart attack.
But I'm always dying.
Right. No, it's just some gas. As it turns out, from Cheez-Its and beer. Cheezies. Sorry. Always make that mistake. I have to stop.
There's nothing wrong with some Cheezies.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong.
Apparently, risk factors are more potent for women, such as cigarette smoking, hypertension.
Yeah.
Dyslipidemia? What?
Sounds close to me.
Obesity, type 2 diabetes,
yep.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Psychosocial factors such as depression, lots of those.
According to WebMD, yes, another classic heart attack symptom is pain that radiates down the left side of the body.
Mm.
So, ote banke.
New study shows that women pay an average of about 7% more than men for the same fucking products. Same ones. 7% more.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It serves them right. They got to have their own stuff.
But see that, and the guys can end up paying for it. So there you go.
Women are charged at least twice as much, if not more,
For half the businesses they visited in this study, the same thing happens to products like razors and toys like scooters. For some reason, chillers, the ones with the vaginas, have to pay more.
Yeah. By the way, dry cleaners, are designed for men's clothing, and women's shirts simply don't fit.
Right. Pay up.
By the way, in New York, it's the state that it's illegal to price gouge.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Okay, back in.
I'm sure that nobody's doing it.
Right. That's never happened in history.
In Canada, both men and women reporting equal spousal violence rates.
Equal.
Turns out that most of the cases where the woman is a victim, they're a little more violent.
And this is up north.
But apparently the broads are beating on the dudes up there.
Yep.
It gets cold.
Look at the numbers in Nova Scotia.
Mm. Yeah, there's almost only so much poutine you could be eating to keep you busy. Yeah.
Poutine does make people happy, though.
In other health news, colon cancer rates are rising in both men and women under 50.
Oh, no.
It's time to
get it cleaned out.
Yes. Earlier.
Yeah.
They're saying earlier now.
It's a wake-up call.
You can't wait till you're 50 now till you let them stick their fingers up
there. Gotta go early.
Right.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, get that thing in shape.
That's really bad.
Get it over to the doctor's office. Let him do what he does. It's a scary thought.
By the way, our friend Dr. Andrew Chan of Harvard Medical School.
Andy Chan?
Yeah, he chimes in. He says
you know what they call him? Ann-Chan over there.
Hey, Chan. And now... our friend says that he can't figure out why people under 50 are getting these higher rates. He can't figure it out, but he's looking into it.
Mm-hmm.
He said there may be an effect that our environment has that could be contributing, like sitting in natural gas or something like that.
Finally, in Las Vegas, a female married... Yeah. A high school teacher is accused of having sex with a special ed student.
Oh, no, not again.
Yes.
Oh, no. Yeah. She looks like she could do okay.
What? Allegedly exchanged more than 13,000 text messages.
Let me tell you something.
13,000.
That is beyond. Beyond. That is a lot of evidence.
It's really weird. I don't think we've ever done a story that involves a female sex ed student and a male teacher. It's always the females that go for the males.
Right.
Well, because, you know, a lot of special ed...
And stuff.
They're kind of like, you know, they're kind of mature for their age.
And stuff.
Physically. Not right. Mentally. But physically.
Yeah.
They have that tard strength.
I had one of those dudes.
I know.
Yeah. I think he had hair in second grade.
And stuff.
Right, he's got a full beard and shit.
And stuff.
Dude was like a horse.
And stuff.
A hall monitor spotted the teacher having sex during school hours with the 16-year-old, who does not understand right from wrong, according to the school.
13,000 texts.
13,000.
13,000.
Right. Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino. Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find a brand new show every single Friday. Just go to GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
I have to stop.
There's nothing wrong with some cheesies.